Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, a worship podcast of the Congregational Church of New Canaan in New Canaan, Connecticut. To learn about the life of our church, our in-person ministries, and the virtual connections and offerings available, please visit us at www.godsacre.org. Now, wherever you are, wherever you are going, we welcome you to worship.
Church family, good morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, wherever you are, wherever you're traveling. And I know a lot of you are traveling for winter break. Whatever you happen to be doing, know that we're so delighted to have you tuning in with us on this first Sunday of Lent. And we are going to look at the story of Jesus's temptation in the Gospel of Luke. That is the text we always look at the first Sunday of Lent as we think about what our Lenten journey, our Lenten disciplines might be this year. And just to prepare you for the word that will be offered, I want you to enjoy listening to our very own Ellie Parkhill sing, Come As You Are.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner. No sorrow that heaven can heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face.
So as I mentioned, we're going to look at the temptation story of Jesus in the wilderness as it's told in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4, starting with verse 1. And it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, that's where he was baptized, and he was led And the Gospel of Mark, it said he was driven, but he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days Jesus was tempted by the devil. Now, Jesus ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, Jesus was famished. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led Jesus up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it's been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will be all yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took Jesus to Jerusalem, placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Incidentally, notice that the devil is using scripture here to prove his point, but Jesus is also protecting himself, safeguarding himself, by using God's word as well. So Jesus answered the devil using scripture again. "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had finished every test, he departed from Jesus until an opportune time. So I know I can't ask you to raise your hands virtually, but I'm curious, if you think about it, do you have a favorite season in Connecticut? Is it spring? Maybe summer. I know we've got a lot of snowbirds who return for late spring and summer, but maybe it's fall as the leaves turn color. What about winter? You know, I love the changing of seasons, and I know that many of us do, but winter in Fairfield County, winter up in Vermont, really wonderful in my opinion, but winter in Fairfield County where it's rainy and in the 40s most of the time, that's a difficult one. However, there is a blessing to winter, and it coincides with what can be, I think, the blessing of Lent for those who choose to observe it. Allison Walter, who's on the mission trip with our 108 Mission Fish this week, shared in Bible study last week that winter is, in many ways, much like the season of Lent, and I think she's right. Both seasons are ones where absence allows for heightened vision and awareness. Winter without leaves and branches, one has a way of seeing deeply, deeply into wooded areas that are just not visible when trees are all leafed out. From my window, my front window, I can see in wintertime ridges of hills that are typically hidden by foliage. I can see the most amazing rock formations that are normally obscured by brambles and brush, bushes. I can see the bend of the river across the street that typically escapes the eye due to all the deciduous growth. With less to obscure our vision, we really can see more. So Lent is the season of deprivation. We strip from our lives some of the indulgences, maybe the overindulgences, that tend to cover up the deep internal longings within us. Unmindful consumption, in so many ways, just masks the needs we feel within us, particularly the need for wholeness and holiness that only communion and connection with our Creator can provide. And so Lent is this wonderful season where we have the opportunity to clear out a bit of the clutter in our lives in order to witness the depth of our need and the breadth of God's presence and provision. Now, because Lent, like winter in New England, has something to do with absence and deprivation, kind of going without, it might actually be a candidate for our least favorite season, Lent, that is. But here's the thing, just like the medicinal compounds that are needed for healing but not always pleasant to take, Lent's been prescribed by Christ Church for the past 18 to 1900 years as a way to spiritual wholeness and holiness, even if it's a little bit difficult to take in the beginning. See, our lives are rife with overindulgence, and as a result, honestly, the idea of cutting back, cutting out that which we are accustomed to consuming, whether it's food or purchasing or social media, online and entertainment, or just the sheer volume of activities that saturate our schedule. I mean, truthfully, we likely don't know how to cut back. Therefore, we never really get to enjoy the physical, relational, and spiritual truth that less really can be more. One of the remarkable experiences we've had as a family, as I've said in years past, was with Rasul, who we were guardians for, who was living with us through high school, and watching him as a Muslim from Cameroon going through Ramadan was really remarkable. Ramadan is that 30-day Muslim season of fasting and prayer, and Rasul would fast from before sunup to after sundown. And we watched as this teenage kid annually did something we tend to think is impossible for us. Now, it wasn't easy for him, but I'll tell you, as he neared the end of Ramadan, the abstinence and the prayer had wonderfully strengthened him to the point where he was sad, visibly so, for the season to end. Now, Ramadan, as we contemporary understand it, is very similar to what Lent used to be in the church. For instance, people would fast during Lent on Wednesdays and Fridays from before sunup to after sundown, and people would limit certain foods throughout the 40-day season. Lent, as you know, models the 40 days Jesus spent in the wilderness, excluding Sundays, right? If you're counting, it's 40 days from Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday morning, if you exclude Sundays, which we do because Sundays are feast days. They're days when we remember the resurrection of Jesus. So those are days that you can step back from or put a pause on your fast or spiritual disciplines. So we've got this 40 days of Lent. But intensive Lenten fasting was abandoned by the church in favor of giving something up like chocolate or coffee or alcohol because the ease of consumption had eroded our desire, our ability to go without. The church decided in its wisdom that temptations were too great and too close at hand, so giving something rather incidental up became the accepted way of fasting during Lent. Now, as you've probably heard us say for years, we absolutely encourage people to give something up for Lent, but we also offer the opportunity to take something on. We have a whole host of activities to engage in during Lent. Now, for people who may not have much of a devotional life at all, taking on a spiritual practice during the season can be really wonderfully rewarding. You know, if you don't pray with any regularity, or you rarely read scripture, or never study matters of faith in any particular disciplined way, adding a class, adding a podcast, adding a spiritual practice is a great thing to do. However, it turns out we are all really good at taking more and more things on. I know that you can shoehorn into your overstuffed schedule another event if you want to. Taking on more and more turns out to be one of our core competencies. Therefore, going without might be our most essential and most beneficial faith practice, a competency to work on and build up, if you will. So on this first Sunday of Lent, I want, like the prophets of old, if you'll allow me, to proclaim a fast, or at least strongly encourage one. Fasting is an ancient spiritual discipline. It is not a new diet fad. It's an ancient spiritual discipline that is witnessed throughout Scripture. You know, in the Bible, you know, people fasted to honor God, to request a blessing or intercession from God, or to stave off national calamity. Fasting is an outward expression of an inward commitment to pursue God, or to allow ourselves the time to slow down so that God, who pursues us, might actually catch up with us. And so I want to encourage you to engage in some practice of going without this Lenten season. And I want to do that by sharing my personal plan for Lent, what I'm planning to do. Now, I will reduce food intake and increase some of my devotional practices, as I always do during this season. But the big thing that I'm going to give up for this season is based on something I noticed when I read this story of Jesus and the temptation. I know this story well, as you do, but the text says that Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit to go into the wilderness. And in the Gospel of Mark, as I mentioned, it says the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness are also very much like, and you may know this, the 40 days that Moses spent on Mount Sinai when God demanded Moses ascend the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. In both cases, these parallel stories, God took initiative. God was the one in the lead. God set the agenda. Both Jesus and Moses made themselves available to God as requested. And according to these stories, the Lord did the rest. For Moses and the Israelites, a life-giving code of conduct was given and received, and for Jesus and for us, a way of living that leads to eternal life was revealed. And in both instances, Moses and Jesus were not setting the agenda. They were not making a plan. They were not envisioning the future. They were just following the commands of God and making themselves available to the Lord's leading. Now, I'm a planner, okay? I am a planner at home and at work. At work, I'm a pastor serving in the least religious region of the country. That's New England, least religious region of the country. And I'm leading in an age of cataclysmic church decline. So I'm always planning and trying to figure out and fight against the cultural currents that continually draw people away from the church. I always feel like I'm strategizing and setting agendas and making plans for the future. But in the midst of all that, I sometimes wonder, what if my insistence on planning and leading into a very uncertain future is not allowing the Lord much time or space to offer me a vision beyond my own? What if my agenda, is crowding out the Lord's desire to take some initiative and offer some of his own ideas? I mean, God is real. Jesus did rise from the dead. The Holy Spirit is alive and well. So why don't I pause for a moment, take my hand off the wheel, and just wait and watch and witness what the Lord can do when I'm not angling in one direction or another? These are the questions. As a pastor serving in New England, these are the questions that I'm always asking myself. And you know what? You have similar questions to ask yourselves, because most of us, you included, are planners. We obsessively strategize and try to control outcomes to the best of our ability. And you know what? We're pretty darn good at it. We are. However, as good as we may be about framing the future, God is better. God is bigger. In fact, as the Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians in Ephesus, the Lord is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. So what if our agenda setting, what if our planning is actually limiting our possibilities because we are not affording the one who can dream and do better than we can, any opportunity to lead us? Our best effort, get this, our best effort might get in the way of God's biggest hope for us. I mean, the impact that Moses and Jesus' lives had on their people and on our world was really all because they allowed the Lord to set the course of their lives and their agenda. Now, I'm pretty sure I know what you're thinking. 40 days to set the plan aside and wait on the Lord? What a absolute nightmare. Being idle for Lent? That's worse than winter. But here's the thing. Lent isn't about idleness. It's about attentiveness. Giving God some time and space to work and simply witness to what the Lord can do when we are not setting the course ourselves all the time. So personally, I'm giving up planning for Lent. No new agendas, no new programs, no new ideas, not at home, not at work. Nothing new for the next 40 days. And I'll tell you, I think staff is relieved. Rather than lead or set agendas or incessantly plan, I am going to commit to being, in a sense, a first responder. Which, if you think about it, first responders do some of the best work, most important work. First responders aren't idle, are they? Not at all. They're attentive. They attentively wait for a call. They're ready to act when asked. They're poised, attentive, patient, equipped to serve when needed, but never making the first move. For 40 days, personally, I'm going to try to respond rather than initiate. Doing that, allowing time and space for the sacred other to act, might be the pathway to best work and biggest impact. For me, for our church, for you, in your life, in your relationships at work. In fact, it's more than possible that the one who can raise the dead and sustain a church against all odds can lead all of us to our best selves and our most important work. So, for those of you who are willing, I invite you to consider joining me. Try giving up some of your plans for Lent. Have an agendaless Lent and allow the Lord an opportunity to lead in your life. Now, there are other things to consider giving up or taking on for the next 40 days, but maybe for a defined period of time, we can resist the temptation to rush in to do whatever it is we believe so important to accomplish, and instead, wait, watch. Witness what the Lord wants to do with us and for us. Now, I know Lent might strike you as a candidate for your least favorite season of the year, but for those who embrace it, Lent can be a most essential and consequential time, a season when we wait for the Lord to lead, a season in which we're encouraged to respond, a season when we can witness the depth and breadth of God's desires for us and for our world, a season of preparation to receive anew the Easter miracle that can make all things and all people whole, and perhaps even holy. Let's pray. Lord God, whether we were thinking about it or not, here we are on the front step of Lent. And we know that we should be a little bit more disciplined in our prayers, in our study, in our reading, in our fellowship opportunities. But there's also this call to give something up, Lord, to observe a fast, where we strip out of our lives some things that are really distracting so that we can focus on that which is most essential, our relationship with you. So, Lord God, encourage us to really think deeply about what we might give up and what we might take on so that the season can be one where we are uniquely available to your Spirit, your presence, and your leading. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, church family, it is now time to enter into the Lenten season, and I hope you will do so with faithfulness and resolve. So as you do, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with kindness and give you peace now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Worship on the Go. To support this podcast and the ministries of our church, please consider making a contribution by clicking the Give button in the top right on our website, www.godsacre.org, or within today's email. God bless you and have a wonderful week.